If you'll turn with me in your Bibles this afternoon to Ecclesiastes chapter 5, we'll be looking at verses 11 and 12. Now, this message here this afternoon is intended to be brought to you so that you, if you do not get a very good sleep at night, that you might come to have better sleep at night. I hope it will be of benefit to each and every one of us here. Let's bow together for prayer. Father, thank you for the scriptures which are so rich and varied in their subjects. And all that we study, we pray that our hearts would be engaged to you. We pray that you would come and enliven our hearts by your Spirit and your grace so that we would take in the truths that are being set forth, that we would drink deeply of you, our beloved, that we would see that you are the one who gives us rest spiritually, and that you are the one who gives us sleep physically. So we pray that you will help us to take in the truth of these verses this afternoon in a way that will truly be helpful to us, and also then that we will find sweet sleep in the days to come. For we pray and ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 11. When goods increase, they increase who eat them. So what profit have the owners except to see them with their eyes? The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eats little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not permit him to sleep. Now, we've seen in our past study that the love of silver, which was spoken of there in verse 10, will not bring satisfaction to the heart of any man or woman, let alone a Christian man or woman. It is based on the sin of covetousness, and as such, it will lead the person who allows it to reign in their heart to always want a little bit more. I think that it was one of the Rockefellers who was asked just how much money was enough money. He said, just a little more. And this is vanity, Solomon says, and he is right. Why strive to have a lot of money if it will not really satisfy you? It is because the impression is that it will, but it really does not. And what is even worse is that the person's soul is jeopardized by these desires. More and more, they want wealth. What will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Now here in verse 12, we find Solomon explaining something to us which is truly satisfying. It is the sleep of a laboring man. It is said here to be sweet. Now this is something to really think about. If you go online to look for information about sleeplessness, you will find that at least 40 million Americans suffer from chronic, long-term sleep disorders each year, and an additional 20 million experience occasional sleeping problems. These disorders and the resulting sleep deprivation, it is said, interfere with work, driving, and social activities. I did not find information online in regard to the correlation between being rich and not sleeping. But the principle of our text in verse 12 is sufficiently clear. The abundance of the rich will not permit him to sleep. So what I want to do during this hour is to first of all ask, why is it that the abundance of the rich will not permit him to sleep? And then second, I will ask, why is it that the sleep of the laboring man is sweet? So first of all, why is it that the abundance of the rich will not permit him to sleep? You would think that having an abundance of goods would make the rich person feel more secure than the person not having many goods, and that he would be able to sleep better. But verse 11 gives us a clue. When goods increase, they increase who eat them. So what profit have the owners except to see them with their eyes? In other words, the rich man sees his food being eaten up and the things that he owns being used in such a way that he himself cannot enjoy them. And so he begins to wonder, is being rich all that great a thing? When goods increase, the rich man is more concerned to maintain and to be able to hold on to what he has instead of being able to enjoy all these things that he has. And sometimes then he might be worried that those who are eating of his goods, those who are his servants, those who are his employees, and those who are his relatives might actually be using up his food and his house at such a rate that they are living in such ways that it causes him to worry about whether he would be able to continue to hold on to those goods, whether he could continue to provide for himself, his servants, and his family. And so he loses sleep over it because he's worried about the things which might happen to the wealth which he has worked so hard for. Since he cannot bring these concerns under his own immediate control, he does not feel secure enough to sleep. What's the problem here? Why can't he find sweet sleep? Well, let's look at a few verses and see if we can help this rich man, who is really a poor man and to be pitied. I want you to turn with me over to Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 4. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 4. It says here, do not overwork to be rich. Because of your own understanding, cease. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. One of the problems with a person's trying to be rich or being rich is that they sometimes overwork to get it. And then they overwork to keep what they have. But there is an uncertainty, even when you get riches, that you will be able to keep them. There are so many concerns, so many needs, so many demands, and then there's the uncertainty of the market in the economy. When we understand how uncertain these factors of material wealth and prosperity are, we really do need to be careful that we are not placing too much stock in our own wisdom. Rather than entrusting in God to provide for all of our needs, give us this day our daily bread is a prayer asking for the needs of each day. The Lord did not say, give us our weekly bread or our monthly bread, but our daily bread, as though it is by our own efforts and skill that we can either gain it or keep it. He shows us to ask for our daily labors to be blessed so that we might be provided for. The real problem of the rich man who does not know God, and sometimes even the Christian who is trying hard to be rich, is that they do not see how God is sovereign over their obtaining wealth. They also may not see that God is the only one who can truly satisfy them in their wealth. Are you using all of the good financial and business principles that you can to earn money and obtain possessions? Well, that's good. But I want you to turn with me over to Psalm 127 and verse 1. Psalm 127 and verse 1. It says here, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. Watch this. For so he gives his beloved sleep. Or as the New American Standard says it, he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. Now I wonder if each of us has really come to the place where we trust in the Lord and pray to the Lord to see this blessed reality come to pass. Do we really believe that the Lord is the one who builds the house, both in our family and in the church? It is vain for the workmen who build to build as if God did not have to bless the building. It is vain for the watchmen who watch over what is built, guarding it day and night and worrying over it in the night when sleep is so needed. It is God who is the only one who can give you the sleep and the rest in that sleep that you need. You're trusting in Him, that He is your keeper. The keeper of all those things, those people, those plans, and their prosperity. All of these are kept for you to receive good from God from them the next day and all the days of your life according to His bidding. It is good to commit all of your concerns to Him in prayer. But it is vain for you to worry over the outcome of all of your labors. It is needless if you are trusting in God to supply and to give you the ability to work and to build and to succeed in all of your efforts. And this applies to sleep as well. Now, second, why is it that the sleep of a laboring man is sweet? In the context of the verses that we're studying, the sleep of the laboring man is sweet because he is diligent. And God blesses that diligence. The man is working hard. He's providing for his own needs and the needs of his family. In the purely human sense, he will get a good sleep because he has been diligent in his labors. He has a clear conscience. He's not worried about losing the things that he's worked for. He can lay down and sleep easily in most cases because he is tired. But he knows that it is a good tired because he has put out his strength into his labors and he has tried to do a good job. Any moral man, any hardworking person, any believer or unbeliever will know the reality of this. Because he has worked hard, a big meal will not churn around in his stomach, making him uncomfortable, and a little meal will surely be appreciated. Either will do for him who is godly, but he will be thankful for what God has enabled him to have and to enjoy. He may not have much, but he is able to enjoy it with God's blessing. I want you to turn with me over to Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 24. It says here we have given further wisdom on why the sleep of the laboring man is sweet. It says, "The hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad." In verse 27, "The lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting, but diligence is man's precious possession." Now you can see from these verses that it does not take having great wealth and possessions to be able to be satisfied with good food or to get a good sleep, but it does take diligence and hard work during your times of work, and a lack of anxiety when it comes your time to lie down and go to sleep. The laboring man is thankful for the good sleep as well as a good meal. If he is a wise man walking in the fear of the Lord, He is trusting in God for every good thing in his life, and diligence is his precious possession, so that when he casts all of his cares upon Christ, he knows that Christ cares for him. Now that's what allows him not to worry and to actually get the good sleep night after night. If he is faithful in this holy diligence, he will rule in the situations of work in which he finds himself. He may not become the president of the company, but he will move up in position and he will receive greater responsibility, because he who is faithful in a little thing will be faithful in much. And he may not always be able to rule over other men, but he will be able to rule over his own anxious thoughts as he remembers that he has tried to do his best in the job that he is doing. He is even diligent in the seemingly little details of life, such as whether he roasts the meat that he has hunted for, knowing that working hard at making something taste good will be worth the effort, both to himself and to others. It is interesting to note that in the Jewish Targum, this verse 12 is translated, "Sweet is the sleep of a godly man that serves the Lord of the world with a perfect heart, and he shall have rest in the house of his grave, whether he lives a few years or more." And Bishop Patrick says in his commentary, the word heophed, which we translate laboring man, signifies one that serves, that undertakes work for another, or in any way ministers unto him. The thing that distinguishes the godly person from the ungodly when it comes to sleep is that the godly man comes to his sleep thinking about other people and praying for them, thinking about himself and how he might better serve God in relation to other people. The godly man knows, or he should know, that the real way to obtain sweet sleep is by trusting in the Lord, that he will show him good when he turns to him in prayer. I want you to turn with me to Psalm 4, verse 1. Psalm 4 and verse 1. "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer." Now you see, this is the way to find every good thing coming to you. That is, that you ask God for it. The book of James says, "You have not because you ask not. And when you ask, you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures." James 4:3. But the thing that you are striving for as a Christian is to be able to do what is right. And this is what you pray for. You pray for a good sleep. You pray for a good sleep that you may have real discernment and strength for the coming day. And then having prayed, you can expect that God will give what is good. And when you have gone about to do the right thing, then you pray further that God would relieve you from all distress concerning the consequences which might come to you from having done the right thing. There were a number of evil people who were trying to tear David from his throne. And these people had sided with Absalom in his rebellion against his father's rule. Certainly, David did deserve to have the kingdom torn from him and given to someone more worthy because of his sin with Bathsheba and the disgraceful lie and cover-up that he was the author of Uriah's murder. But God had forgiven David of these sins when he confessed them, and now he was chastening, he was disciplining David for them through this very episode of Absalom's rebellion. His riches could not save him from this. He knew that he was at God's mercy. But he knew that he could still find help by trusting in God and pleading for his mercy to be shown to him. Now I want to apply this to ourselves. God is the God of your righteousness, and he will relieve you in your distresses if you are trusting in his Son, Jesus Christ. The temptation for David would be to become angry at Absalom and Ahithophel and Amasa and the other men who were trying to take over the kingdom. And verse 4 says, "Be angry and yet do not sin. Meditate with your heart on your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord." You see, that's what you should do to find sweet sleep. When you find that you cannot sleep, you pray. And as you pray, meditate with your heart. And as you lie there upon your bed, you may find that you are angry as you think over what other people have done and said about you. But verse 4 says, "Be still. Do not fret. And do not be agitated. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord." That is, you praise God and you give him thanks that he has ordered this for your good. He has ordered this to teach you, and you are willing to be taught. And he has ordered this to show you that ultimately you can be satisfied with him and the things that he will give more than anything that any rich man might have. Verse 6 says, "There are many who say, 'Who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You have put gladness in my heart more than in the season of their grain and new wine increasing. I will both lie down in peace and sleep.'" Look at this. "I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." You see, there it is. The sleep of the working man, the one who is laboring as unto the Lord, is sweet. And the one who does all of his labor as unto God in Christ will find that by trusting in the Lord and praying, that in the vast majority of circumstances, God will give them sweet sleep. I find it very strong consolation that in Acts chapter 12, that when Peter was taken prisoner by Herod, and Herod was intending to put Peter to death, that on that very night before he was scheduled to die the next day, that Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two guards, and constant prayer was being offered for him by the church. And I'm quite sure that it was only God's mercy that he was released, as he was, when that angel walked in there and the gates opened up in front of him and Peter's chains fell off, and he said to him, "Follow me," and they walked right out of there. But what sweet consolation it must have been to sleep on that night before he was scheduled to die. He was laboring for Christ and the gospel. He was scheduled to die the next day. He was to be dramatically rescued that next day. But he did not know that at the time, but he did find sweet sleep under those most stressful of conditions. May you and I find it as well. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this passage of Scripture. We pray that we would learn by it and from it. Help us to see that there are definite reasons why we might not be able to sleep, and help us to so live our lives before you that we learn from those times if we cannot sleep, that we would learn to pray, that we would learn to trust in you, and that you would help us. Dear Father in heaven, may the word speed into our hearts here this afternoon, for we pray it in your dear name, Lord Jesus. Amen.